Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, also known as your favorite esports podcast. My name is Tim. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey, this episode, episode 42. Is that right? Is that what we agreed upon before the
yeah,
show?
Yeah, I actually checked it this time so we don't accidentally label this the next episode that hasn't happened yet.
I mean, it really confused a lot of people. A lot of people said it took them out of the episode that we mislabeled it. That voice you just heard, though, that will be my partner. That is Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Pretty good. Not too bad.
A little sleepy?
Oh, I've done literally nothing but sit on the couch this morning, so I'm actually super relaxed and kind of tired right now.
Well, there you go. Dog sitting will do that to you. But this is episode 42 of The Center Ring. You can follow the show along on our Twitter at The Center Ring. Go figure. I am at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at Brand Any New.
Is that the first time? Like, how many times in the last 10 years is someone actually able to get the Twitter for the show they wanted?
Well, it wasn't even the one we wanted, to be honest. I wanted at TCR.
Yeah.
But some private account with like 4 followers beat me to it from probably what they made 10 years ago. And because, you know, Twitter is Twitter, they won't let you have it unless you copyright it. So maybe one day. But let us know what you think of it there, because this is probably the best episode we've ever done. We did a lot of prep work for it. We're late. I know we're late. Or are we early for next week's episode? However, like,
I still want to reference, like,
we've
first,
gone around the globe.
The first, like, 2 episodes, we said it was going to be a bi-weekly show. So I feel like we're still just banking extra episodes every time we record a weekly one.
This is true. This is true. We're over-promising, or I guess under-promising, over-delivering is how it works. But no, we were late. Look, we record downtown. Sometimes life gets in the way with jobs. Sometimes Kanye West gets in the way with him performing next door. And we just don't want to deal with the traffic. We don't make enough money. And when I say that, I mean we don't make any money doing this to put up with the amount of downtown plus Kanye West traffic. So maybe we could have got him on the show. Maybe that was a missed opportunity. Maybe we would have saw him in the parking garage and been like, yo,
Kanye,
you want to talk about Cloud9 t-shirt you have on?
You want to talk about esports?
There is,
yo, Kanye, I'm going to let you finish.
0% chance.
I'm going to let you finish, but
he would even know.
You'd be like, what? What'd you call me?
0% chance. But this is kind of a ragtag episode. When I say that, I mean, there wasn't just a whole lot of tournament play going on throughout the week for us just to...
There was a ton of league play, but let's be honest, trying to follow one of the like 4 or 5 different Counter-Strike leagues that, like, are going on right now.
You have to, with CSGO, you have to kind of talk about it in general, like recent performance as a whole. Whoa. Unless you pick a league. But if you pick one league, then one week you probably won't even care about insert
team. Well, they only play 4 matches, right? But the problem is, there's so many leagues. I mean, you look at teams that are playing like 5-6 matches a night, but they're jumping from league to league to league. It's just hard to follow all of it.
Yeah, well, you can't pick one. If you're just picking one league, you're missing storylines all across the board.
Yep.
Like, are you not going to count an upset in E-League if all you do is choose to follow, you know, ESL? So you can't do that. So that's why we don't really get too hung up on what league we're discussing. We discuss generalities here. And speaking of generalities, we're going to start the show off talking about Thorin's recent releases. Okay. But before we do that, or I guess before we get to that, let me kind of break down the show. We're going to end with e-news like always. We kind of have a hodgepodge, a melting pot, if you will, of Clutch or Kick, everyone's favorite segments of controversial decision making, and why I am right and Brandon is always wrong, where we kind of break down some stories that, are they stories or are they just you know,
cannon fodder.
Yeah, are they kicked up dusts? Are they just things that people are bringing up for the sake of having a talk show segment on? But no, we want to break down Thorne's thoughts, if you will. Thorne released on Gamers with a U, because kill me. He released his top 10 latest CSGO rankings, world rankings. All right. And this is as of the 22nd of September. So 2 days ago. So this is hot off the press.
Oh, that was 2 days ago? It seems like it was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens, man. That's what happens. No, this was only 2 days ago. So this is fresh. And the reason we're going to bring this up is because as different from like HLTV or GosuGamers.com, their rankings are all algorithmed up and they have their point systems, and you can't really argue those because those are numbers, right? You can't argue the numbers. This is what it is because that's the way their math worked out. With Thorne, though, he does it a little different. He does it more in the sense of traditional power rankings where it's his opinion and you can argue opinion. You can talk about opinion. So that's what we're going to do. He rated the top 10 CSGO teams, some conditions, though. Only LAN events in the last 3 months. Am I right?
No, it's only LAN events.
LAN event. I think he said for the last 3 months, this is the his opinions based off of there. Okay.
Yeah, it's 3 months. You're right. All right.
So I don't know how did you want to just go 1 to 10 and kind of look at them, or how did you want to do this?
I mean, I just break it down for the top 10, because some of them make sense. Some of them are pretty obvious.
SK Gaming, number one, which we can bring up more. I want to dive into my thoughts on SK and Clutch or Kick. I don't want to completely pull back the curtain here. I think the only reason SK is number one is because no other team is number one. Does that make sense?
Because they were already there.
Like, they were there, so you're going to give them the spot.
Yeah.
Whether or not they are playing like a number one ranked team. There you go. That's my thought. They're not playing like a number one, but they are number one because no one else is good enough.
Right.
So they're there. They're there by default and for recent performances. But again, we'll dive a little further into that in the Clutch or Kick. This is where, apart from that, I think everything is kind of debatable, right?
I would even say that one, to me personally, is debatable. But
so who else would you put at number one?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a team. Like you said, I don't think there's a team that I would immediately put in.
Right.
There.
And that's why I would
But the thing that drives me crazy is he says it's only offline events in the last 3 months.
Which I don't think is, if you're going to do a true power ranking, that's not the way to do it. If you want to look at last 3 months, that's totally makes sense. But you cannot just look at LAN events because CSGO is not just LAN events.
No. But the thing that drives me crazy about it is, SK Gaming haven't done any LAN events since when Fur went down with the ear surgery that he was getting. They stopped playing LAN events, right? So they haven't actually participated in any.
So they haven't had a chance to lose as much?
Yeah, so they've literally set on the top of this ranking based on their major performance, winning the major, which is, you know, it's good, but...
But other teams have been working a lot
harder. Where's the decay? Yeah, right. Where's the decay on the ranking?
And that's why I don't think it's fair to just use LAN events, because we discussed it earlier. All these leagues aren't always LAN.
Yeah.
So are you saying that their performance of online is just completely voided out from how people look at that team? I don't agree with that sentiment of, if you're going to do a true power rankings, do it off of their last 3 months of overall performance.
Right.
Because to me, this is a power ranking of last 3 months of LAN events. Like, you need a little quotations over power rankings here. He had number two, though, being Virtus Pro, which, you know, I've said for multiple times now, where G2 and Virtus Pro, for a lot of people's rankings, they're normally floating around two or three. And it's a weird feeling where I don't have really any solid evidence to tell you why they shouldn't be two or three, other than the fact that I just feel like they're beatable on any given tournament. Like, Virtus Pro got dead last at that Star Ladder Season 2 finals.
Yeah.
Dead last with Na'Vi. And for whatever reason, you know, other than that, their performance again, over the last 3 months have been pretty well. But I guess I just weigh losses a lot harsher than wins. And I don't know if that's right, but I do.
Yeah, but so like he says in his ranking there that VP's activity remains the friend, and they've begun to piece together solid resume of wins. And so like you have SK Gaming that sits at number one because they haven't played any offline events, but then you have Virtus Pro that are moving up the rankings because they have played more offline events. That's kind of stuff that kind of irks me about these objective sort of rankings.
Where he doesn't weigh the same thing.
Yeah, it like, just goes by his which, you know, team to team or whatever.
Where if you look at Virtus Pro, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 LAN events in the last 3 months compared to the 2 that he has up there for SK. So you would think that that would weigh some significance. Then you have G2, which is number 3. That's whatever. They're so under my radar. I don't care. Now, number 4. They were not in his last top 10. That would be Cloud9. Cloud9 is number 4 ranked in the world, possibly their highest ever. Okay. We've discussed them multiple times on this show. They have been on fire. Stewie2K in particular, but ever since they got automatic, I think 4 is probably a right place for them.
That team lives and dies on Stewie2K's performances. If he's playing the way he can play, they win. If he's garbage, they can't win.
Now, I will want to say this, though, because they've been, I think, taking some unjust criticism from a lot of fans and from a lot of people in the scene where, like, now they're making semifinals of all these tournaments, like at DreamHack Bucharest. Like, they made the semifinals there and lost. And, like, you're still having fans or people going, like, this is, nope, there's Cloud9. They decided to show up. Now, albeit that they're losing, like, 2-0, right? They're not making the semifinals against Virtus Pro or anything like that really pretty. They're not putting up a fight. They are looking very Cloud9-ish. But at the same time, like, let's look at the improvement. Are we seriously giving them the Astralis or Navi treatment of, like, well, you suck because you're getting second place? Just look at back, like, this is their last 3 months. If you go back 6 months, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it would even out. This is just looking at the last 3 months. The last 3 months has earned them fourth place in Thorin's place, which everyone knows hates NA teams, right? Obviously. So.
Well, he does say in there that he thinks Cloud9's unlikely to hold on to it, and he says that it's basically because all the other top teams aren't really playing LAN events right now.
But SK is still number one.
Yeah.
So, again, there's flaws in his system with ranking. That's obvious. Right? It wouldn't even take us to tell anyone that there are flaws in this ranking. Now, this is the biggest flaw in his ranking, is number 5. It's Team Liquid. Liquid, he has as the 5th best team in the world. Even if you're just looking at the last 3 months of LAN, how can you put that on there? Because all he is taking in this is the major where they finished second. And this is why I'm going to get fired up. This is why it's stupid. Because you have for Liquid, he has ESL1 where they got second. And then the ECS season where they got 5th and 6th, right? They tied for 5th and 6th. And so those performances alone earn them the top 5 seed or top 5 in the world. Yeah. Like when you're looking at the teams, like top 5 is like sacred ground of being like, you're pretty legit and you're going to contend. So what Thorin is telling you is Team Liquid is 5th best in the world. Oh, but let's ignore the fact that they didn't even qualify for E-League season 2.
Well, he qualifies his ranking by saying even though they lost Simple, the 4 players did earn those placings or whatever it is. But I don't know how you can look at a player leaving and say, I mean, it could be more objective if you do it this way, but I don't know how you can look at a player like Simple that you know is so good, you know was carrying a lot of the load for opping and everything with that team.
Well, look
how he can leave and you say it didn't really affect their rankings because all the other players were there. Well, it does
look at in between MLG and the ESL One Major. How did Liquid do in between MLG, where they had Simple, and in between the time where they didn't have him, and then he came back to play at the next major?
Right.
Both times, they shot up in the rankings when they had Simple. So look at, again, as a whole, their last 3 months' performance of not just having Simple, or, you know, their whole 3 months, not just the lands.
Yeah.
They're not a top five team at all, arguably not even top 10. For me, it's hard to press to get a team that's not even qualifying for E-League, and they're really not playing well with Pimp in the lineup or anything like that.
They're even falling down the rankings for HLTV.
But we're going to get more into the, I feel like, where there's a lot of contradictions in these rankings, which when we'll get to number 8, which is Na'Vi, because that's another one that they're going to go hand in hand. You have 6, which is NIP. Okay. Whatever.
Well, he qualifies that one by saying their recent win at
had a sub.
Yeah, at Star Ladder didn't really count because they were using a stand-in.
But 4 of the guys.
Yeah, before the guys were there. 4 they of the
guys are
it.
On there.
Yeah.
So why doesn't that count? Again, I feel a little bit hypocritical. Like, they had a stand-in for one tournament. 4 of the other guys were there. You put Liquid at 5th place.
Yeah.
For the same exact reason, you just discounted Liquid getting to 5th place and saying, well, 4 of the guys still earned it, so therefore, those are positive points to them. But because only 4 of the guys from NIP were there, it's negative points to them. Makes no sense. Team Dignitas, who actually has been playing pretty well, actually, I bet you Cajun B probably appreciates that trade now going off of Astralis, who is just not playing well at all. Still, it's very weird to see him in a Dignitas jersey. And then Na'Vi, this is the one during the pre-show meeting that you said you were actually having somewhat of a difficulty with, was Na'Vi.
Yeah. I mean, again, it goes back to the player. I mean, you would... You add Simple and it doesn't change anything. He does take into account, he says they finished last at Star Series. I'm just going to quote the first 2 lines. It says, the new Na'Vi with Superstar Simple in tow accomplished nothing at Star Series, finishing in last place. So this is a LAN event that's happened within the 3 months with this lineup. As a result, going back to the quote, as a result, they rely still upon the placings of the old lineup. So you're saying this LAN event happened, but they finished last, so now we're going to just look at their previous rankings? I don't know. They're ranked number 8, which is not great.
No.
I mean, you would think Na'Vi would be higher. In your head,
right.
Reputation withstanding, you would think Na'Vi would be ranked higher.
But you would also think that Na'Vi would perform better.
Yeah, they've been playing like hot garbage.
Yeah, they have not been playing well. I'm not saying that Na'Vi should be in the top 3, because ever since they acquired Simple, there's obviously been a little learning curve, especially with trying to figure out who's going to be the main opera on the team.
Yeah.
But still.
I mean, even says in here, with no best-of-3 wins over a top 10 ranked team, they've taken a map from NIP. That's it. But they're still ranked top 10? Like, they haven't beaten a top 10 team, but they're still in it? Interesting.
But it's because he only looks at the LAN performances.
Yeah.
That's why. He's only looking at LAN performances where, I guess, for them, it's weird that for them and for Virtus Pro, he just completely ignores the last place finishes. Like, that's not telling at all. That the fact that when it came to a tournament with international players and everything in there, that, like, how are you going to discount those losses, but yet prop up when they beat Cloud9 in the semifinals?
Right.
It's weird to me. I don't know. And then you had Envious as 9 and Heroic as 10th, which is former SK. So those, whatever. Envious has been playing okay. Still pretty much a hot mess with that team. How Happy is still on that team? Like, wasn't he supposed to be out of that team in March?
Like, wasn't that somebody else? But I can't remember who off the top of my head.
That's
right
when
now.
The rumors started. Well, they got bodies was the thing, and so that's kind of where that started. So the reason we start the show off with Thorin's rankings is because they will get brought up a lot during Clutch or Kick. I preface with, I'm not arguing his rankings. That's the beauty of it, is that they're his rankings. I just think that there are flaws in the way he came up with the ideas.
Right.
Or maybe he didn't, you know, he only wrote a few sentences for his reasoning. Maybe there was more to his reasonings on why some of these go, but let me tell you what. Liquid is not fifth best in the world.
You don't think so?
I don't think they're top 10 right now. They don't qualify for anything. They can't beat the second tier NA teams.
Yeah, but they haven't lost a LAN match.
Oh, this is true. They haven't lost a LAN match. You're right. You're right. Despite their last one really being the major with Simple, but hey, losing your best player doesn't have any... That would be like when the Bulls lost Jordan and then people were still putting the Bulls as favorite because, well, look at their record last year. Yeah, but that was Jordan. No. Their record.
Well, it's like when you win a match and you're like, well, I'm just going to quit while I'm 100% win rate.
Yeah, then
1-0, right out on top.
Clearly are the best, yeah. Right? It has nothing to do with just that one win. So it's weird. I guess that's what it was, though, is I feel like Thorin only looked at their record, the team's records and everything like that, and really didn't think of other factors into it for some teams. But then, like we said, like with Nip, he punished them for only having four people in their lineup. I don't know. I guess that's why he can write the articles and we can't. I want to move, though, to Clutch or Kick, because this all kind of ties ahead into some news stories with CSGO and just across esports in general, where I want to discuss with you, Brandon, on should I care or should I just let them go? All right, we'll start here, keeping with CSGO. SK. Now, they've been performing okay, not really up to SK standards. They've lost to teams like Immortals and Optic Gaming, but basically have won everything else, but against North American teams like Selfless and Echo Fox and CLG, teams that you would really think they should beat. But there always seemed to be that kind of, you know, like with Cold Zera, that whole mix up and fair and all that. Are we seeing is downfall too harsh of a word? A decline?
A regression?
Yeah.
I think so. So, I mean, Furry's been out of commission for a while getting surgery on his ears. I have the stats just in front of me from the Optic game because I specifically pulled it because Optic actually beat them pretty handedly.
Is this, refresh my memory, is this the one that sent off Cold Zera on his...
No, because that was with Showtime. This is with SK Gaming's full lineup. Fur was back. Showtime was back.
This was after all that, though.
This is a very recent, I believe it was... it was at the iBuyPower Invitational that Optic beat SK Gaming. They beat him 2-1 on Cobblestone, and they took him on Cobblestone and Overpass. Fur actually was the worst player, went -11 on the team, but you also have guys like Cold Zero going -6, which is kind of odd considering he's supposed to be the hard carry killer. The thing that I find interesting about all of it is that SK has always been kind of a very tactical team, right? Like they've always, so you wouldn't think them missing, like Fur missing time would be a huge effect on the tactical part of it.
They're all very skillful, but you are right. It's
always been more about their executes and stuff like that. And on the other hand, you've got Optic, which has recently added Taric that beat him. And I don't know, honestly, I don't know if this is like SK being bad or Optic getting better, right? Because Optic has gone on since then. Since they won that match, they dropped a match against Immortals, also at High by Power, but then turned around and beat Immortals for ESL1 New York qualifier. They've beat Echo Fox twice, Selfless twice. So they've gone on and won a bunch of games in a row. So I don't know if it was SK regressing or Optic
playing better,
right? Since the loss to Optic Gaming, SK is, you know, they beat CLG a couple times.
That's what I'm saying, though.
They beat Echo Fox a couple times, but then they lost to Immortals two times in a row.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're dropping games that you wouldn't think. And I think they are playing now, SK and Immortals. I think they were winning when we started. So they are playing it out there. So I'm going to say, if I had to clutch or kick, I'm going to say clutch because I am interested to see how they perform next week at ESL 1 New York.
I know why you want to clutch. You want to see the Brazilians fall.
There is nothing that would make me more happy than to see SK just off of that. And Fnatic was supposed to be my one hope, but then they decided to blow up their roster and become completely useless on both ends. Both Godsend and Fnatic.
Is climbing the rankings a little bit.
Oh, not like Fnatic, though. Old Fnatic.
Well, yeah, they're definitely. And you know what? So I was thinking, man,
that was like the Beatles, and then you just told me, you know, like George and John just went on to do a duo record. Like,
I was actually thinking about that when we were talking about SK being number one on his power rankings. Because of SK's dominance and because of Fnatic's dominance at the beginning of the year, I think that's why I couldn't pick a team that I would be like, oh yeah, definitely legit number one, is because those two teams were so dominant in those little couple months that they were, that no other team is really compared to it since.
No, and we'll talk about ESL 1 New York, obviously, after it happens. We'll do a recap episode. But, I mean, just there looking at it, you'll have SK facing off against G2 Liquid, who's apparently a top five team, and this is a LAN event. So, obviously, they're going to be a top five team performing there, right? Virtus Pro, Na'Vi, Fnatic. That's, yeah, cash their check in on that one, I hope, because the new Fnatic roster probably would not have been invited. And then Astralis, and then one more. Astralis actually qualified, so that's why they're there. And then we're still waiting on the NA qualifier, which, by the way, if you can find out when that's happening, let me know, because it's nowhere on the internet. But that's either going to be TSM, Cloud9, or Optic. So you're going to probably see a toss-up between C9 and Optic, who have been trading hits lately. So that will be a good tournament, though, for SK to test out, you know, how that's going. It will also be a good one just for Na'Vi, too, seeing how that goes. I guess, overall, New York will be really good, really, now that I'm looking at it, now that I'm thinking about it out loud. That'll be a lot of the first time in a while where teams will be able to test out their rosters in a LAN event with everyone there, and it's not a giant thing. They're also doing the Swiss style. It's not groups.
I like the Swiss style.
I don't really know what it is. I know it's one big group. Isn't it kind of like the World
points
Cup?
Points-based, yeah.
Round robin.
Yeah, it's kind of round robin. And I don't know. It's harder to keep track of, that's for sure. But I think it's more fair for the teams that are playing.
Yeah, I like that too. What else? I guess that was... So what did we decide? We're clutching it?
I want to clutch SK too, because okay. I want to see what Thorin's power rankings are going to be next month.
After a LAN event. All right, what else do you have for this? Because I have a handful.
Speaking of kind of rules and admin, so just in the back of your head, have, you know, remember all of the situations we've had with admins making rulings and stuff like that. In a recent DreamHack Bucharest during Hearthstone, Stan Sifka, a Hearthstone player that actually went on to eventually finish, I believe it was second at DreamHack Bucharest. The format that they were playing in, you have to provide your decks ahead of time to the admin. The admin is supposed to check your deck to make sure that what you have listed in your deck is what you're actually playing with in the game. I guess this particular person wasn't able to log in. His name is spelled H-O-E-J, Hoge, I guess. He wasn't able to log into his account, so he didn't have the deck pre-built. They used someone else's account. He went in through and built it. The admin was supposed to go back and check. Either way, he actually had put in a card that wasn't on his deck list. They played through the whole game. Nobody noticed. Afterwards, I believe it was someone on stream pointed out the fact that that wasn't on his deck list. The deck lists were published. The admin basically just gave him a loss. Said
after the win,
gave the Hoge guy a loss. He ended up losing 3-2. So one of those three losses was that match point loss that he was given. And then Stan Sifka came on Reddit afterwards and said that he told the admin not to do that and he didn't want to give him a loss, that he would have rather just replayed it.
And I think that would have been the more fair thing to do, right?
Yeah, it would have been the more fair thing to do. But when you've got admins that are constantly being crucified for not following the letter of the rule.
So there's a lot of layers to this. So this happened actually one time in golf, in professional golf, where you are not allowed to, if you're dropping the ball, right? You can't move the ball a little bit and then hit it. You got to hit it where it lies, right?
Yeah.
Well, one time, I think it was on Twitter, where the viewer on TV saw that this player nudged the ball a little bit before he took his shot and tweeted the officials or however, I don't remember the story exactly, but you get the idea. The official saw the tweet and was like, oh, well, hold up, we need to review this. Turns out he did move it and everything there. So the officials actually missed it. And then it wasn't until retrospect with help from viewers, very similar to this.
Yeah.
I have the feeling, this is my feeling, that if the official doesn't see it and a viewer does later on, That's game, right? You shouldn't be punished because yeah, it's done. It's you as an official or an admin, it's your job to make sure that that game at hand is played properly and fairly. And it wasn't like, did he purposely put this card in there that he didn't pre-register, like maliciously? Like, was it?
Well, Stan Sifka said he believed it was just an accident since he was building the deck on the fly. And to be fair, the card for Hearthstone players, Tunnel Trog and Face Shaman, is pretty much an auto include in most of the decks. But for his, for whatever reason, he didn't include it in his deck. He was probably doing a lot of autopiloting and just put it in there on accident. Stan Sifka said he didn't feel like it was any kind of malicious,
like it didn't intentional throw off his strategy.
He said that if the card hadn't been played, it wouldn't have been a big deal, but he actually had it on turn one when you're supposed to play it and played it. So it obviously had an effect on the game, right? You know? But he said he didn't feel like it was malicious and he would have rather just replayed the game.
I just feel like you shouldn't punish the players for poor officiating. And we've seen it time and time again where officiating, and I use that loosely when I, you know, admins, whoever, whatever official you want to be, the rule enforcer, drops the ball. I mean, look at this Northern Arena.
Right.
It was, what match was it? Cloud9 and Immortals, where Zeus played without his headphone on.
Oh, and, yeah, I was reading about was Echo Fox doing it too.
Okay, well, I don't remember.
But they were told they didn't have to wear them or something like
that.
Right,
but it was a huge deal, and then one of the players said it, and then the officials get involved, and if it happens, it happens. Like, I understand, like, if they're hacking or something and you find out later on and you need to punish that. But when it comes just to officiating's missing something or just not knowing their own rules to enforce it, well, then you need to punish the official, not the players, not in this case, where the game was already played.
Right.
Like, it was already done and moved on with. For you to retro do that, I'm not cool with that. I'm going to say, the story needs to be clutched for an example of all future tournament in Hearthstone or anything. Just train your officials. Don't get some volunteer or some dude that you know. Just train them and let them know, like, look, double check this.
Yeah, I'll say clutch, but I want to say it's clutch because it was an example of an admin following the letter of the law. And even though the thing that actually kind of irked me the most about it was that Stan Sifka, the guy that benefited from it, later went on Reddit and complained about it. Like, I wouldn't have done this. And it's like, I, as somebody that was like following it and has been an official with, and you know, in ice hockey, why you would have, you feel the need to go back and publicly shame the admin for following the rules?
No, I mean, they're just shut up and
yeah, just let it go. Go on. So anyway,
I agree with that. So I have one thing here then. I have a handful of other things. This, though, I'm more so curious just to have a discussion on. Okay. So Activision, right? Call of Duty. Their newest one's coming out, Infinity War, and it's also coming with it, the Modern Warfare Remastered Edition, right? Modern Warfare, everyone loved that game. And I've never really I've never seen anyone bring this up, so I'm just curious on what your feelings is, because this comes out November 4th, so in about a month and a half-ish. How is that going to affect their esports landscape? Because Call of Duty's is a we don't follow it as hard, but it's a popular esport. In that community, they just had their big world tournament. It pulled in great numbers. But here you have the interesting factor where a company is releasing two very popular titles. You have the new Call of Duty, which always does well, but you're also releasing the fan favorite Remastered. And as long as you don't F it up with craziness, as long as you just actually remaster the game, it shouldn't be much of a difference.
Yeah.
So you're really releasing your own competition at once. Is that going to have an effect on their landscape?
I don't think it will, because that entire esports landscape is driven by Activision. Activision is the only one that really puts on tournaments for Call of Duty, or at least high profile tournaments. And they're the ones that drive all of the league play and the big tournaments and the big prize pools. So I think as long as Activision doesn't make a tournament for Modern Warfare.
Yeah, but they're going to have to.
I don't know. I mean, you might see like exhibition games or something.
Like,
but
you
I don't think
it might be more of a...
Yeah, but I don't think Activision's going to be dumb enough to...
But what if, in this world, though, in my scenario, like, imagine if one of the pro teams ditch Infinity War and goes to Modern Warfare because they like the more, you know, traditional
weapons. I don't think they will, because there's no money in it. There's no... The high-profile tournament is going to be whichever one Activision makes it, right? So I assume they're going to make it the newer release. I could see people playing it and pro teams playing it, but I just don't think they're going to walk away from Infinity War if that's where the million-dollar prize pool or
where Activision
forces them to go, I guess.
Is making it in the spotlight.
I don't think you're going to have a situation like you do, say, Smash Brothers, that has like three different games that are constantly being run tournaments on. So
you don't think the fan base will be split?
No, I don't think it will. I mean, we've played Call of Duty, right? Every year a new one comes out, and every year everyone went out and got the new one.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing like NHL. Every year people go out and buy the new one. They complain about certain features, but they always go out and buy the new one.
Why don't we compromise and let Infinity Wars be the PS4 tournament and Modern Warfare get on PC?
There you go.
How about we do that, Activision? How about you embrace the PC Master Race? It's much better, much more intriguing. So you're saying kick.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really have an opinion. I was just more so curious on yours. One thing here, and you'll appreciate this one here. DreamHack Bucharest, the crowd sign controversy. Have you seen this?
I haven't. Lay it on
No,
me.
You haven't?
I haven't. I missed the big one.
So apparently, just in general, the crowd at the latest DreamHack was awful. Like, just really bad. I'm not saying like size-wise, behavior-wise. Like, the behavior of the crowd was bad. And even to a point where Sadakis was saying like they should be embarrassed and he's ashamed because he really liked the country or whatnot. So apparently the crowd was really bad, really immature, which, go figure, an esports crowd is immature. Like, we've said it before that it's basically, if you ever wanted to see a live reenactment of Twitch chat, go to an esports event.
I felt like a dad. Like a geriatric get off my, like Clint East. I felt like Clint Eastwood does with politics. When we were in Columbus, I literally turned around and had to scare the living hell out of a kid because he was just being so obnoxious. Just stop.
Well, apparently it was so bad at this one, they had to tweet about it. So I'm assuming it must have been worse than MLG Columbus.
Wait, what, who tweeted? DreamHack was
tweeting? Sadakis tweeted. Okay. Yeah, like the hosts, or not the hosts, but the commentators, whatever. Analysts, there you go. One of the issues, though, that really dived into this were the signs that people were holding up. So, and we hate those in general. We've always said it, that they're stupid, and I don't know why they even allow them. They're stupid Twitch memes and not creative in any way. Well, in this one, so it was Cloud9 versus Virtus Pro, and people on the Virtus Pro side were holding up signs, and whether or not it was to be jokingly, you know, feeding correct intel or incorrect intel, I don't care. I don't care if they were being incorrect, because either way, if a player sees it, it's going to affect them. They were on their signs. It said they're going B, they're going A. Like, so it was like their signs were feeding intel to Virtus Pro.
That's so stupid.
Now, I don't believe there was any follow-up on, you know, like Virtus Pro never said anything about it. I don't think they saw it, right? I'm not saying it had any impact on the game. But I'm just saying at that point, because it was clear as day, like everybody saw it on the stream. And even the Sadakis, I think, was mentioning something about it in the live stream, saying like, oh, I hope he's kidding. Like, I hope that sign is not real. At that point, man, DreamHack needs to go down there and just be like, give us your sign. Like, no, we're not having this.
Yeah, I agree.
To me, it is the same as having a laser pointer and shining it in someone's eyes at a sporting event. Like, the crowd, you can be affect the game with your noise, with your cheering, or anything like that. But don't do that. You're ruining everyone's fun. It only takes one idiot to ruin everyone's fun. And even though I'm not a fan of signs and I think they're stupid and not that funny, I appreciate you having the freedom to do this. But if you're going to sit there and post up saying like, oh, they're going A or going B, bomb at A, bomb at B, like, that's not cool. On, like, I think it was like Eco and things like that. It would be like, you know, feeding Virtus Pro information on where Cloud9 was going. So my question for you on clutch or kick, are we going to see this affect how other events treat the signs?
Are we going to kick? No, we're not. Clutch, should we? Absolutely. Stop handing out blank signs to these kids that are 12 years old.
I agree. I don't think it's going to change anything, because I don't think tournament organizers think about that stuff for more than 2 minutes. Yeah, they don't care. They got your money and whatever. They don't care about any integrity of the game. And don't make them tell you that they do, because they definitely don't. But I agree. I don't think we're going to see any change, but I would love to see them stop handing signs off. I mean, think about it. You're handing signs off to the same kids that are just obnoxious and yell online.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's a side effect of it.
They don't see the impact that it's going to have.
Yeah, it's a side effect of the culture around esports, and that everyone's just looking to wreck somebody else and not actually contribute in any meaningful way to the ecosystem. I can guarantee you the kid that was holding that sign, if you went up and said, hey, who's your favorite person in esports? You know what they'd say? Thorin. Guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't agree with the signs, and especially in that sense. Like, man, at that point, you just got to be the bigger man as the tournament organizer and just trash them. We kind of already discussed this next one, though. Liquid failing to qualify for E-League Season 2. I think we can put that one to bed. I think we discussed that pretty well.
They're completely out of it.
They're not Virtus Pro level. All right. They don't get those last chance tournaments and pre qualifiers. Yeah. Okay. If it was Virtus Pro, sure, maybe we'll find a way to get you back in the league. Liquid doesn't have that treatment yet, so they're not in season two at all. So that's, you won't see him. Sorry, buddy. We'll discuss more of E-League though coming up, because their groups were announced. We'll touch on that in E-News and we'll break it down later. But
actually, I kind of want to bring one up. So you kind of mentioned it right there. So flip side, this is kind of a spur of the moment culture kick. I'm going off the cuff here. Flip side. As of 2 days ago, was 0-10 in the EPL. 0-10. Clutch or kick. They get the same last chance qualifier, best of three fan vote qualifier that Virtus Pro did to stay in the Pro League.
That's good. There's no way. There's no way that Flipside's going to get the same treatment that Virtus Premier did.
Let's talk about that for a second. Oh,
I can't wait.
Negative 82 round differential.
I can't wait to see what happens, though, because you know it's going to get brought up.
Yeah.
You know it's going to get brought up of like, so what? They're just done? Like, they don't get it.
They don't get all the...
They don't get a third chance to sit in that league. My last clutch or kick, again, I really have nothing to go on this. I'm more so just curious on everyone's opinions. So let me know at the Center Ring on Twitter. E-League's rating. So, you know, E-League has been coming back slowly on TV, right? With these hour-long kind of preview specials on Friday nights. And they're doing really well. Like, they're pulling in 200, 300,000 viewers, and everyone's like, wow, this is great. Okay, take it with, you know, grain of salt. It's hour-long specials, not four-hour-long specials like a match can be. So that could play into part there. My concern with this, though, is that people are judging it so hard on ratings to where even if it gets pulled or not get pulled, however you want to do it, I'm worried on how people are going to view E-League as a success. Like, if it doesn't get good enough ratings and they do decide to pull it after season two, right? Like, from TV, which I don't think they will because they're doing Overwatch on TV. I think TBS is really going in on this one to just make it their thing. I don't really know if there's a clutch or kick to this. I guess I'm just, if they get canceled or lower viewership, is that what makes it a success?
No, I think if it gets taken off of television, it doesn't really mean anything, honestly. If you ask me, if it gets taken off of television and they continue to produce E-League content like for streaming and stuff, that's more of a
indicator.
It's more of an indicator of TV's failures than esports failures, right? Because I mean, their Twitch stuff has been successful. I mean, the tournament was successful.
No doubt.
We know firsthand that there's people inside of that would prefer to have a shorter show and that shorter shows do better, especially if you could do it at a decent time and not
9 o'clock on
a Friday evening. Like, throw up 4 hours of programming on Friday night. Nobody's going to watch it, really.
Last night was Friday night, and I went to bed at like midnight, which is probably early for most on a Friday night, but it was glorious.
Yeah.
And that's staying up late for me. I normally go to bed at like 9 o'clock. I'm old, man. So staying up for 9 o'clock for a game is rough.
So I could honestly see them dropping it off of television and it not being a damnation of esports, but more of television being the issue.
Where it's at. So clutch or kick, then I guess this is mine, is should we, this season, should we even care about the ratings?
Clutch, yeah. You need to care about it, but I just don't think...
Don't.
Fuck it. Kick it. In the long run, doesn't mean shit anyway.
That's what I think, too. I don't... I've been ranting about how people post that every week anyways, and it's like, I don't think that's really what they're going for here. I don't think they were looking to be the next NBA. So that's it. That's all I got for clutch or kick.
I'm out.
So we got... Clutch SK. We're clutching SK status. We want to see how they do at ESL 1 New York. You said kick. Kicking Activision and their double release of two FPS shooters.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter.
All right. We kicked if the crowd issue at Bucharest will do anything to affect future tournaments. We basically just made fun of Liquid. I don't know if we really decided on a clutch or kick. We just kind of said they suck. And then E-League, we said kick because the ratings don't really matter.
Agreed. I'm on all of the above. Those were what I said.
All right. So then moving on then to E-News, and then we'll send this piece home. So E-League, just since we're on it, E-League did announce that, you know, their groups, they have four groups, just like last time. It's going to start October 21st with Group A. We can get more into this in future episodes when it comes closer to, since we have like a whole month before we have to really worry about this. But just I'll sprint through them here. Group A, Mouse Sports, Cloud9, FaZe, Immortals. Top two from each group are moving on. So clearly I would think Cloud9 is a favorite in that. Maybe Immortals if they decide to show up. Group B, this is one of the... So there's really two big groups in this tournament.
Echo Fox.
Yeah, there's two big groups in this tournament that everyone is saying, what the hell? Group B is one of them. Virtus Pro, NIP, G2, and Echo Fox.
So, Echo Fox does not have a snowball's chance in hell to get out of that group.
No, not at all. We don't know. Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
No. That's three top 10 teams, according to Thorin.
Well,
two of them are ranked two and three.
Those are top 10 teams, according to anyone. The top 10, they're going to
be. BP and G2, two and three.
Yeah. And then NIP, though. I mean, on anybody's rankings, you're going to see that. Those are top 10 teams across the board. And then you have Echo Fox. Sorry,
who still employs Freakazoid.
What?
I said, who still employs Freakazoid. Employs.
I thought you said replaced. I was like, what?
No,
what
still employs there? Freakazoid.
Nah, Echo Fox.
It's beyond me how that dude still has a pro contract anywhere.
Echo Fox does not kick people off. They hold on to that roster, man. Sean Garris is still on there. I think Shazam is still on their roster, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's proof right there. Group C, you have... You know, I saw some people saying like, whoa, Group C. I didn't really see that.
No, you have two teams in there that are very easily going to make it out of the rest
of
them. Yeah,
Na'Vi, Astralis, Alternate Attacks, and SK.
SK and Na'Vi, easy.
Easy. I don't know why people were saying like, oh, sorry, Alternate Attacks. What do you mean? Astralis sucks? They haven't been doing anything lately. They've been way out of whack. So, no, Na'Vi and SK. And then Group D, you got Fnatic, Envious, Dignitas, and Optic. That group
literally does nothing for me.
Like, who is going to make it out of there?
God, I think...
Have you ever seen the South Park episode where they all have to play baseball and there's Bat Dad? And, like, the kids are purposely trying to lose so they just get to go home? I feel like that's Group D, where, like, the only teams that make it out of there is because the other ones just wanted to just...
Not play.
Just not play.
I mean, if I... I don't. I know we're, extending this further than we thought we were going to, but I mean, Dignitas and Envious,
maybe.
I mean,
ask me after ESL New York.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's a weird group.
Well, we're gonna have to wait. We need more time between now and October 21st. Well, that's just when that starts. They won't play until probably closer to November, I think. Where we'll see. They definitely did not save the best for last, though.
This
that's
is another
sure.
situation. So it says the seeding of the teams hasn't been officially revealed. I'm reading off of HLTV.org. But the assumption is that they were based on placings in the previous season and qualifiers similar to that is used at the majors. I hate that. Placing teams based on a tournament that happened 4 or 5 months ago, it shouldn't happen. Because so many things change in esports. I'd rather see random.
I was going to say, I think I prefer random, but then you get the off chance that the best teams get all in one group, which I don't really care after that either. I mean, that's kind of the point of group play. If you really are worried about the best teams not making it out, then just do a giant round robin or Swiss style tournament, right?
Yeah.
Just ditch groups in general and then be done with it. But not with that many teams, it could take a while, but you'll see. How does the World Cup of Soccer do it? I think theirs is random.
I couldn't tell you.
Possibly. I mean, I only produce a soccer show.
I don't even watch the World Cup when USA is playing, which I think is the only time anyone in the USA watches the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know. I only produce an actual soccer show on the radio, so.
Yeah, that's your domain, man.
How would I ever know that? My other contribution to E! News, and you actually brought this up to us in the week. I'm going to tell the listeners now, keep an eye on Battle Right. Look on Twitch. It's on Steam right now for like 17 bucks.
10% off on Steam. It's $18, I think. $17.99. Yeah.
Keep an eye on that game. That might have something to it.
It's the quote unquote spiritual successor to Bloodline Champions, which everyone seemed to have a lot of fun with. I just got done playing the tutorial before we came out here, so I've played just a little bit of it.
I think I have like 5 hours on it so far, and it's not bad. Not bad. I know they had like a little fun tournament this week. Basically, for those who don't know what Battle Right is, it's one word, Battle Right. It's essentially like take just the fighting from a MOBA. Take the bases and the lanes and the minions out, and it's just a giant team fighting type of game. I guess it's an arena fighter with heroes. I don't know what the official name of it is, but it's cool. I like it a lot. Check it out if you're into that type of stuff.
Now, my only contribution to e-news outside of that is actually Masters of Bacon Tournament for Battle Right is set to begin. It's an EU tournament with a crowdfunded prize pool. You can go to mastersofbacon.com for more information. It's supposed to begin. The main event will start November 4th. Qualifiers will be every Sunday starting from the 25th of September, which is tomorrow.
Can't wait. You know what also starts tomorrow? The Overwatch Open for the NA style of the bracket. You got them coming up this weekend. EU is next weekend. And then it was like the couple days later, they're actually doing it on TV, E-League. So that's going to be on TBS. We'll talk about that, though, in a couple of days. Because we are going to have a... So because we were late with this week's episode, which is kind of next week's episode, we're going to do another episode this week, which is next week. So we're really just doing a two for one is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're just doing two episodes in 1 week and, you know, we'll still get the same amount of listeners, which is no one. And that's great. So
hey, we got like 10 or so,
you know, but we love all of them equally, but some more.
You don't have favorites.
No, no. How about if you share us on Twitter at the Center Ring, tell all your friends about us. We'll love you more.
Yeah, you could be our favorite.
That is episode 42. If the outro music didn't let you know that we're done. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know we loved doing it. Let us know again on Twitter at The Center Ring. I'm at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon is at BrandInnyNew. Let us know what you think. How did you fare on our clutch or kick decisions? Do you think we were wrong? Do you think Brandon was wrong?
I'm never wrong.
On a few things, you know? Let us know. At The Center Ring, or let us know on our website, tcr.gg, where you can find all the old episodes, very out-of-date episodes on YouTube. There's a little contact thingy there. You can send us an email if you're into that. If not, we will be back next week, which is in like 5 days or so. We'll record probably Tuesday for episode 43, where we will break down the NA Overwatch, maybe some ESL 1 New York preview, like an actual preview. And yeah. That's all I got. Thank you for listening again to The Center Ring, and we'll talk to you next time.